Invitation I made to notice how we crystallize into this sense of separation and what the causes and conditions for that are. And I'd also like to touch into a bit about the last two guidelines, which are listen deeply, speak the truth, which we'll be exploring in dyads this morning. So hopefully we can weave some of the threads of the retreat together. There were questions. Oh, that's so much better. Yes. There were questions about bare awareness yesterday, and we were really working with that. What is that? What is it to simply be aware without all the add-ons? Right? Just the experience. And I thought it might be useful to you to hear how the Buddha offered this invitation to Bahya. He said, Bahya, you should train yourself thus. In reference to the seeing, there will be only the seeing. In reference to the heard, only the heard. In reference to the sensed, only the sensed. In reference to the cognized, only the cognized. That is how you should train yourself. When for you there will be only the seen in reference to the seen, only the heard in reference to the heard, only the sensed in reference to the sensed, only the cognized in reference to the cognized, then Bahya, there is no you in terms of that. When there is no you in terms of that, there is no you there. When there is no you there, you are neither here nor yonder nor between the two. This, just this, is the end of stress. So, bear attention. Not creating something out of what's we're aware of. And yet this open receptivity to what's unfolding moment by moment. I was so pleased, Jean-Francois, last night when you were speaking about trust emergence and this bit of insight. It's like, okay, it's not a thing. You know, the mind wants to make a thing out of everything. It's just what we do. We want to grasp it. We want to turn it into something that can be controlled, mastered, worked with, no problem. But there is a space where instead of grasping, controlling, when the mind grows still and calm, we can begin to notice what's arising and vanishing, and we're not constructing anything out of that. And so what's the fruit of that kind of bringing that kind of mindful awareness to the moment? Well, one of the fruits in terms of human contact is what we might call bare relatedness. As our friend Bhante Sukhacitta, again, quoting Ajahn Sumedho, not creating a person out of each other. Now, does that mean you're not a person? No. That does not mean You know, there are relative ways of understanding what the Buddha is describing. But bare relatedness is simply where you're actually available. And you're not constructing out of what's happening. Now, why is that such a beautiful, beneficial, wholesome way to be in the world? Because if you aren't making something out of everything, when you show up, you're much more likely to actually see what's here. And what happens when we actually see what's here? Well, most of the time, the heart is able to resonate, to quiver with some compassion. It's not lost in grasping and clinging, because there's a certain level of tension in that, right? That's compelling us to go in a certain direction. It's called tanha in Pali, craving, hunger, thirst. You know, we want to get somewhere, make something of something. That's what happens when there's reactivity at play, when the mind is obscured by that reactivity, that wanting things to be different, you know, whether it's a thing or a person. And what happens then when we're lost in that tanha, that craving, that wanting? Well, we fall into separation. Maybe you noticed that this morning in your contemplation, how easy it is to kind of fall into a sense of me and a sense of you, and the tension of that, you know, to actually notice the suffering of that. It's not what you experienced in that walking meditation we did that so many of you spoke of last night, where you were pausing together and really attending. Wise attention, noticing. And some of you described it as being very kind of luminous and clear, very pleasant. So there's a difference in the way we're in the world. And this is the core of what the Buddha is teaching: suffering and the end of suffering. So we practice so that we can discover this kind of pathway towards release. Because of the most of the time, we're simply walking around ignorant. We just don't know any better. We're in this momentum driven by hunger and identification, greed, hunger, delusion, hatred, ill will. And as we cultivate the meditative qualities, the heart mind begins to open to the suffering of that tension. And when we open to the suffering of that tension, we don't have to tell ourselves to relax. We actually relax. Because when the heart resonates with suffering, with compassion, it just happens. And maybe you've already discovered that in your dyad practice, you know, where your partner was sharing something with you that really touched you. And what happened? The heart melted. The sense of separation lifted. The Buddha talks about this as nibbana, the cooling of the fires of becoming, of this kind of endless samsaric circle that we can get locked into in the absence of knowing, that it's like this being a human being. So we have, I appreciate it, what Wendy said last night about this egoic desire to be good. Oh, we suffer. We want to be good. No, it's just part of the condition of being born to a mother and a father, and how you know, from the time there's eye contact and you look, you know, at your mother or your father. I love the memory of my son doing this and watching. I had the series of photographs. Everybody he looked at, he was mirroring their face, their facial expression. It's just what we do. It's how we learn. It's how we kind of grow. And so there's a lot of conditioning, depending upon how that went for us, that is set into place quite early on. And that just continues because we don't know any better. But now, here's the great news, is you are being well-taught, noble disciples. You're on the retreat, you're meditating, you're investigating, you're making the effort, and you're doing what must be done to live the holy life. You're making the inquiry. That's the whole of the holy life. Suffering and the end of suffering. So I want to speak now just a bit about the guidelines. Listen deeply and speak the truth. Because it takes us right back to that conditioning, right? The way we use language, the way I use my body, everything. It's my accent. I don't even know I have an accent, but Patricia's like, "Oh, I love your accent." So it's deeply conditioned by what we've already experienced. All the memories, you know, all the learning, the schools we went to, the teachers we had, you know, our family of origin, our relatives, the place we grow up in. You know, I can't help it when I come here and I walk through the fields because I read the Harry Potter series. You know, it just feels so magical. It's an association, right? Depending upon contact and memory. It just happens. And do we know it? So in listening deeply and speak the truth, we can begin to pause with mindfulness to kind of notice the words, the phrases, the way language lives in the body. And really investigate that. What's emerging in the moment? A rich, rich history, you know, that way predated anyone I can remember. I loved, Celia, you're kind of taking us to the, what was this place before it was Gaia House? What was this? Why do we do what we do? And often it's just, I love, there's a family systems theorist, Murray Bowen, who talks, has the concept multi-generational immaturity. We don't even know. It's the soup we swim in. He used the a metaphor to talk about this. He said, you know, there's this tradition in their family, there was, if you're going to cook a ham, you cut off the hock, that part of it that's been hanging. Well, so for generations, that's just what you do when you cook a ham. Is there anything wrong with the hock? Not a thing. Not a thing. Did anybody remember that? No. Now, that seems pretty innocent, but you think about how that can then grow into a view of who you are and who other people are and what you need to be afraid of. Oh my gosh. All these differences that we posit around gender, culture, race, and then we live out of those projections. And we have to suffer with each other living out of those projections, those limitations of view. So when we practice listen deeply, speak the truth, we're really relaxing into the investigation of how all that conditioning is arising right into the moment. And we're just bringing as best we can the simplicity of investigating it. Not judging it, because that's going to bounce you out of awareness, the bare awareness of it, right? That's tension. That activates your neural networks in such a way that it's going to send you off into some stream of me or my making. It just works that way. It gets us out of the way of danger. So it's a good design. It's just that we do not need it every moment of our life. It becomes an unwholesome hunger and craving, an unconscious hunger and craving that compels us rather than the meditative qualities of mindfulness, concentration, energy, investigation, tranquility, joy, and equanimity that liberate us. So let's investigate together.